So we have a lot of exciting things kind of going on in the life of the church happening this month, and we'll send out some more info, but just as a reminder, we have our Jag Jam, which is the giant festival chaos activity here in the life of the church. We helped with it last year. We manned the bounce houses, and everyone survived. Amen and amen. And so this year, they're getting ready, so it's April 5th, Saturday, April 5th, and we're sponsoring it again as a title sponsor. We're happy to do that. We're going to put some raffle prizes in there as well and have a booth set up. And so if you want to come and help us be part of that, I think we're going to take over the face painting. So if we have any artists among us, or even if you're not that great, the kids can't see themselves until they go home, so it's fine. But if you want to help with face painting and join us for that, we would love for you to be a part of that. We're working with the Little Gym just down the road. My daughter, Ruby Kate, goes to the Little Gym every week. She loves it, just down by Duncan. It's a little gymnastics studio. They're working with us to do a parent survival night as well in April. And so they're going to host it. We're going to sponsor it and be a part of it just to really care for parents. And so if you're interested in helping with any of that, we'd love for you to join us. And then The Chosen movie is coming out end of this month. And so if you've watched The Chosen series, maybe you did when it first came out, this new season is Holy Week. They're focused on Holy Week. There's, I believe, 6 episodes. And what they're doing is they're releasing them 2 episodes at a time at the movie theater leading up to Easter. And so we're going to try and take a crew and go see about 3 weeks ago, the closest movie theater was in Fleming Island, and just recently Durban Creek or Durban Pavilion, the Cinemark there was added. And so if you're interested in that, we would love to go check out the Chosen movie and have a good time together. But for today, our Lenten series, again, is based on this devotional book here, Jesus in the Wild. And we're really anchoring ourselves completely in this text out of Luke. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 14. And so today we're going to kind of go over the entirety of the text, and then the devotional and the rest of our time together, we'll kind of pick apart pieces and really see what's happening as Jesus goes through this experience. And one of the things that's really important to remember is that there is no one there to witness this encounter. So Jesus is in the wilderness. He's experiencing these temptations, these trials, and there were no crowds. The disciples weren't there. There were no historians really keeping account of what unfolded, which means the only way that we know this story is because Jesus tells it. Jesus shares what happens. He shares with the disciples because there's something about this part of Jesus' story that's important for us. And so with that, let us turn. Luke chapter 4. I have the words on the screen here as well. Verse 1 through 14. I'm reading out of the NIV. You may have a different translation, but this is what it says. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and in the end, at the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you were the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from there, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, we ask for wisdom today. We ask for your protection and courage as we enter the wilderness. God, we ask that you speak to this world in ways that they may hear. Draw all hearts to you. Comfort those who are grieving. Be with those who do not know you. God, allow us to trust in your promises in spite of the brokenness we see around us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. And so we're entering the wild, and I think it's helpful as we look at this bigger picture here of what's happening to really understand what's happening around it, some of the context. And maybe you're familiar with this idea of a triptych, a piece of art, a triptych. Here's one very colorful. But there are many different triptychs that have been made famous throughout the world. But the idea is that there's this central work of art, and it has these wings on either side that really speak to it. They speak into it. They influence it. They give context. And for us today, the story of the wilderness is this central work of this triptych that Jesus is a part of. And so we have to remember what's on either side of this. And so just before Jesus going in the wilderness is Jesus' baptism. He goes into the Jordan, the skies open up, God's voice says, "This is my son, whom I'm well pleased." And people are amazed. The crowd see who Jesus is, that his true identity is revealed in this moment of baptism. And then right after this time in the wilderness, Jesus starts his ministry. Now we tend to think of the ministry as this giant chunk. We don't have a whole lot about Jesus' life written down other than his ministry. And so we see this giant piece, but really it's the third part of this triptych, that without this central act in the wilderness, it would not have as much impact. Without the act that happens just before Jesus' baptism, Jesus' experience in the wilderness may have been different. And so as we're thinking about these 40 days, we have to think about this experience, that it's a central act sitting in between two powerful pieces of Jesus' life. And for these 40 days, we step into Lent, this central work. We step into it willingly, like Jesus, who it says was led by the Spirit into the place we allow ourselves to, instead of choosing the tame, we choose the untamed in our world. We choose the unpredictable over the predictable around us, the uncomfortable over the comfortable. And it's really helpful for us to remember today that desert here, this place that Jesus goes, doesn't necessarily mean sand and heat. That's what we think in our world today. The Greek word is eremos, for desert. And this word has kind of a wide array of meanings. It can be translated in these ways. It can be translated to desert, deserted place, desolate place, solitary place, a lonely place, a quiet place. It can be translated to wilderness. And there are stories, lots of them, throughout all four Gospels about Jesus' relationship with the eremos. But this is the first story. And this is one that's really important. And Jesus seemed to love the eremos. He seemed to go there. And we see him time and time again getting up and going to the quiet place, going to a lonely place, a solitary place. In fact, many of the times people are searching for Jesus, they're trying to find him. They don't because they're looking for him in the wrong place. He's gone to be in the eremos. He stepped away. And we've come to associate this wilderness here with evil and temptation, that's a part of the story, that yes, evil shows up, that Jesus is tempted when he's at his weakest, but that thinking tends to keep us away from those places. And so sometimes we talk about going into these places we don't want to go. There's a lot of fear with it, these wilderness places, these solitary, these desolate, These quiet places are places that bring maybe a lot of fear in our lives. But the story reminds us that we don't need to go to the wild to face unpredictability in our world, that we can see, we can feel the lack of control, the unknown right in the here and now. We don't need to go to those places. In fact, those exist in our world right now. We tend to think as evil exists somewhere else in the world, that it's over there. We miss the attempts of evil to kind of chip away at our life right here, right where we are. Maybe you've heard this description, death by a thousand paper cuts, this idea of a slow, painful process. Evil in our world becomes this constant pestering that destroys our relationships. It eats away at our time. It pulls our attention from God. We don't have to go to the wilderness to experience that. But when we're in the wilderness, there are fewer distractions. We tend to notice it more, of those places that pull us from God. And Jesus is called into the eremos by the Holy Spirit, and we're being called in the same way these 40 days. We're asked to enter this place. But it's not impersonal. It's not ambiguous, this calling. It's the same as when we call someone else. Maybe we call them by the phone, or we go and meet someone, but we call them by name when we encounter people. And when we call them, it holds all the context of our relationship, who we are, who they are to us. We call a child, or we call a parent, or a friend, or a spouse. All that's come before that moment and all the expectations beyond it are part of the calling. We have these relationships with people. We have context. And so when we call them by name with the context that we know them. And Jesus was called to wander here for a reason. And we're called in the same way these 40 days in the desert. And so the question we have to ask is what can we learn from the story of Jesus going into the wilderness? What are the things that we can gain? What are the things that we can understand better about who God is, who God created us to be, and what our purpose is when we look at this story? And Dan Wilt, the author of this book, he writes this. He says, "When the Father calls you by name, there is always a threefold challenge that follows." He says, there's a challenge to your identity, there's a challenge to your belovedness, and a challenge to your purpose. And we see this in this encounter that Jesus has in the wilderness. And as I said, over the next 40 days, we're gonna look very specifically at how Jesus responds to these things, about the ways in which he's pulled or attempted to be pulled in different directions when there's a weakness that shows up, when he's hungry, when he's tired, when he's thirsty. And we have this idea that that evil exists, like I said, other places, or maybe there's a wilderness in our community that we don't go to, wilderness within ourselves that we avoid. But we have to remember there's a spiritual foe whose singular goal, and we see it here in this encounter, is that you and I get lost in our own wilderness, that we get lost in our own stuff, that as we navigate these things, that we become lost about who we are, that we forget this identity that we have in Christ. I've said it a couple times here, and I believe it, the first sin in the world was forgetfulness. That Adam and Eve forgot who they were. They forgot their identity. They forgot who they belonged to. They forgot their purpose, and sin crept into this world. And when we don't remember who we are, we can become lost. We can get lost about who calls us their own, that we are called sons and daughters of God. This temptation that happens in the wilderness with Jesus kind of twists the words a little bit. The tempter says, "Aren't you so important? Aren't you so loved? Aren't you so special that you could do these things and someone will protect you?" It's this idea of twisting identity. That instead of being anchored in who we belong to, anchored in who we've been created to be, we get sort of twisted into using our identity to get what we want. And so getting lost in our own world, our wilderness, about who we are, lost who we belong to, and then lost about what we're created for. That God creates us for a purpose, to go and do the kingdom work, to share the good news. And I don't know about you, but so many times I've felt this where things are going really well. Maybe you've had this experience. Things are going well in my life. You know, a corner is turned, a goal is accomplished, and then chaos shows up in a new way. Maybe you've had this experience. I have a friend who's on this health journey, and he's trying really hard to lose weight. He started running marathons or training to run marathons, and he had this great season where he was cutting down his time, he was losing weight, he was eating healthier. You know, his family was going on these runs with him, felt like he was in great shape, and then got injured. And in that moment, he felt like, man, all of this was a waste. That I did all this work, that I tried all these things, I tried my best, and it was all for nothing. And he kind of ended up in this place. He was kind of sucked back into, should I just give up my diet? Should I give up this idea? Should I just go back to the life I know? And people surrounded him. They said, no, you know, this is part of it. You got to stick with it. And they push forward. But chaos always seems to show up when good things are happening. And we can quickly be pulled back into the negativity, the terrible things that maybe we've experienced, those patterns in our mind, those patterns in our life that help us cope with difficult times. But Jesus in the wilderness had just been baptized. We have to remember that God revealed who he was, that these crowds had gathered and they had seen that Jesus was the Son of God. Hopefully that stops before we have to pack the trailer. You saw that Jesus, things are going really well until it started raining. But this crowds, they saw who Jesus was. His identity was affirmed. He had loved ones. Someone he knew very well, John the Baptist, was a part of that, played that role, was able to honor him in that. He had this anchoring of identity. And his worth and his purpose were lifted up. And he goes right from that to this place of the wilderness, this place of challenge, difficulty, this place of temptation. And we typically use these words interchangeably, testing and tempting. Maybe you've heard kind of these swapped back and forth. But they're distinctly different when it comes to our faith. And let me just give you kind of this example. So when you go to school, when you go learn part of education, you are tested. That the things you know, you have to go and take a test, and it's an attempt to prove what is right. That what you've learned, that what you know is the right thing. Tempting is this pulling away from the right thing. That we know what's right, and this tempting is this option to go another way. And so testing and tempting become two different things in our faith as we're thinking of what it means for us to be tested, what it means for our faith to be tested, what it means for us to be tempted in our lives. And God allows us to be tested for our good. He allows this testing to happen. And we see this throughout the scriptures that God allows this testing of those who are faithful to show that they will continue this good work. But this tempting looks very similar. But the enemy uses it for our destruction, this pulling away from God. And the two experiences can look very similar, but the purpose and outcome of each is very different. Testing meant to build us up, to affirm us, to give us strength, and tempting meant to tear us down. And in the wild, as Jesus enters, there's this unpredictable and ever-changing thing happening around him. But he's willing to go. And if we're willing to go and willing to listen hard for the voice of God, we begin to seek to encounter the God of transformation, to discover more deeply who we are, who we belong to, and what we're made for. See, it's only in the wilderness that we can prove where our faith really is. It's only when we go to those places that we don't want to go. As Jesus time and time again goes to that solitary place, that quiet place, that desolate place, that lonely place, he leaves stronger in his faith, more affirmed in who he is, his identity, and his purpose. And Dan Wilt says this There is a spiritual power of evil that both exists and has a purpose to get you to either forfeit or extinguish the precious gift of life your Creator has given you. To get you to forfeit, just give up on it, or extinguish the precious gift of life your Creator has given you. Jesus goes through this 40 days in the wilderness, this struggle, this temptation, this trial, this test. And even after all that, he willingly goes to these lonely places again and again and again. As he gets closer to the cross, we notice more and more he goes to a quiet place to pray, that he wrestles with God in the same way we've seen others throughout Scripture wrestle with this will of God. Because there's a spiritual power that exists to either get us to forfeit or extinguish the gift of life that God's given us. Jesus' identity was in question in the wilderness. It was not in question after that. After this desert experience, he came out stronger. He knew who he was. He knew what his purpose was. He knew who he belonged to. And he came out the other side stronger. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. But in the wilderness, as we step into those places, as we test ourselves, as we see where God is leading us, there's always this unsettling possibility that we will fail. I would say most of the things we don't do in life, across the board, regardless of faith or personal goals or things we want to achieve, we don't do because of the fear of failure. But there's always this possibility that exists that the test will come and we'll lose heart. We'll lose faith, we'll be consumed by the wild around us. And it's important for us to remember that in the face of those fears, those things that really distract us, that pull us away, that success and failure are not people, they are events. Success and failure are not people, they are events. That in our lives, whether we succeed or fail has nothing to do with our identity, has nothing to do with our calling, has nothing to do with our purpose. They are events in life. And the good news of the gospel is that we see time and time again people called to do amazing things and fail, and they're given another chance. They're invited back in. They're welcomed wholeheartedly, that their identity does not become that failure or even that success, because those are events that happen in this world. And so when the testing comes, we have to remember that our faith is powerful, that who walks with us, that who goes along with us as we're willing to journey into the wilderness is the one who controls all things. The wilderness is intended to make us more like Jesus, to kind of pull away the pieces that we've built on our life that are not of God. Those crutches, those things that we anchor our identity in that is not of the Creator. The unpredictability of the things around us can keep us awake at night, can challenge us, can bring fear, those things we cannot control. And it can make us question who we are. It can make us question if we're loved or why we're here. And if you find yourself in these desolate, lonely places right now, know that God, a God who understands, is with you. Because just like Jesus, you went in with a blessing. That Jesus was called by the Holy Spirit into this wilderness place because it was important for him to experience this testing. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and he came out stronger on the other side. In this 40 days, I really encourage you to step into this 40 days, to step into this devotional, to step into this time of prayer and focus on what God is doing, knowing that you will come out on the other side stronger, to persevere over these next 40 days. There is something about this story that Jesus wants to tell you. There's something about this story that Jesus shares with his disciples because it is important. Because we'll all find ourselves in those desolate, lonely places. We'll all find ourselves in those struggles, those challenges to do, and that God, and it's important for us to remember who we are. remember what we're called to do, and that God, who is the God of the cosmos, loves each and every one of us. And so what does Jesus have to tell you in this story over the next 40 days? Let's pray.